power increase. Unto the one who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be all blessing and honor, glory and power and praise.
Standing, going to give you the opportunity to go around, greet one another, shake their hand, tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord on this Wednesday evening. And if you see someone you don't know, make sure you introduce yourself, and there'll be an usher at the back of the offering plate. You can worship with your wallet as you go by. God bless you for being here.
Because of who you are.
you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Jehovah Jireh,
you're my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, you're my Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who you are. I worship you because you're holy, you're holy. I worship you because you're holy, that's who you are. I worship you because you're righteous, you're mighty. I worship you because you're righteous, that's who you are. I worship you because you're mighty, you're mighty. I worship you because you're mighty, that's who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and sing. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just worship him for who he is? Hallelujah, Jesus. The more I know of you, Lord, the more I want to worship you. Acknowledge your greatness, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful God we serve. The more we know about him, the more we experience his love, his mercy, his grace, the more we should want to worship him, should want to give our lives, should want to sacrifice for his cause. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Why don't we just take a few moments? Lift your hands, lift your voice. God, you are so wonderful, God. We acknowledge your greatness, God, because of who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's such a sweet presence of the Lord. How wonderful you are, Jesus. How wonderful you are, Jesus. So good, God. You are so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. There are quite a few things happening. Maybe not here in this local assembly in the next few weeks, but throughout our fellowship, more specifically throughout our district, many youth events. It seems as we get on into the spring and, you know, the weather starts to break, maybe. The youth events kind of heat up, if you will, ramp up. And so and I'm sure they'll be talking about these things in youth class, but there are youth revivals, youth services, and I say this all the time, even if you're young at heart, these things are available and open to you. And so there are some things happening in the next a few Friday nights that are available for any and all that want to go and be a part of that. Those times, events, places are going to be on the announcements. I do want to say thank you to all those that helped us have a great Easter service here this past Sunday. Thank you for overwhelming us with all the candy that we are able to rain down upon the kids from the bell tower, and just had a great time together. So
Thank you for that, your generosity in giving to causes like that. We thank you for that. Had a good time with in the presence of the Lord, good time with family and friends, I'm sure was had by others. And so here we are, midweek service, and then regularly scheduled services coming Sunday. Our two-service format, two-session format on Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, and then breaking from that at about 10:45, 10:50, and then at 11 o'clock begins our worship or evangelistic service. And then Sunday night at 6 p.m., we will continue our Financial Peace University, and so there's only just a couple lessons left in that, and so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. And it's always good instruction and knowledge concerning how to handle God's money, God's way for His glory. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. And so if you have a prayer request, why don't you slip up your hand and we'll make it. Sister Christy, saw your hand first. Certainly. All right, certainly. Let's remember him in prayer. Definitely. Sister Arlene. Goodness. All right. Certainly. Let's remember Ron Williams, the neighbor, and Jessica Romero for the job situation. Brother Al. All right. All right. Certainly. Very good. Ms. Karen. Certainly. All right. Just remember your mother and family. Is there anybody else? Certainly. Just remember them in prayer. Wife to her brother, her uncle, there was a shooting in an Ohio township just outside of PA. And or Ohio Township NPA, and that involved her uncle. He was shot and killed in his driveway. And so let's remember them in prayer. I don't know the family name. I know his name was Jimmy, but Westover is the family name. All right. Gotcha. All right. All right. Brother Mike. Some uncertainty surrounding that situation. Certainly, let's remember Mark in prayer. Fine young man, and I believe God will open a door for him. But let's pray that God gives him peace about the situation. In the meantime, certainly. Why don't you stand? Oh, I'm sorry, sister. Go ahead. Ah. Yes. All right. All right. All right, certainly. So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you that we can come to you. There's no need too big or too small. God, you care those things that concern us, Lord. And we come to you in prayer believing, whether it be a financial situation, God, whether it be employment, God, whatever the situation is, we know that you are able to open doors, God. You're able to make a way, God. And we thank you that we can come to you in that faith and that assurance, God, for the Westover family and loss of this man today, God, shooting. Lord, I pray that you'd be there, be a help, a strength, God, to encourage them, Lord. Lord, to speak peace to their heart and their life as they deal with this tragedy, God, for other things, God, that are mentioned here, other needs of family members and loved ones, God. We know that we can cry out unto you, that we can call out to you, God, that you give the end. You have the answers, God, to all the questions, Lord. And we come to you in that faith and that assurance of believing, God, that you work things out, God. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. We praise you, God. We thank you, God. Jesus, in your precious name, in your wonderful name, we ask it, God. Jesus, in your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study I've entitled Faith, Reason, and Truth. And we have, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how that the Bible tells us that we can understand God's eternal power and Godhead through creation. And we took it to a subatomic level, if you will, and we talked about how that science has discovered that light can be both a particle and a wave, fully a particle and fully a wave. We talked about how that Jesus was God manifest in flesh, and that as such he was fully God and fully man, and we kind of broke it down. And the reason for this study is to show compatibility between science and the Bible. We live in a world today that seeks to exclude God. It is a very humanistic and almost atheistic view, a postmodern view, if you will, of the world and even our universe. But I am of the mind, and I think many here are as well, that I believe the more that you study and the more that you see, when you do it on the basis of spiritual reasoning, when you start with the objective truth of there being a God, and from God stems what we have, and you start from that basis, if you will, then these things do not complicate. These things do not confuse. They, in my mind, they further affirm. They further show that what we have and what we interact with, if you will, is of God. Its origin is of God. And so that's essentially what we've been doing. We've been taking some scientific things, and I'm not trying to teach a science class, and I'm not trying to be really nerdy. But I was talking to someone today. I said, man, I said, I've been talking to people about this book that I've been reading from which the study comes from called Amazing Truths. And I was talking with Brother Volan, who's been here before, son-in-law of Brother Davis. And I was telling him about the book, and he's like, man, I put it on my list. And I said, you know what? I said, the crazy thing is, I said, I'm kind of a geek for this stuff. I love how, you know, this science, and he brings out this stuff. I said, but I don't know if everybody else is. And so I'm trying to make it as interesting as possible and yet not make it to where you feel like you're in a science class and your eyes are glazing over and you're like, okay, when's that time when he says, let's all stand, because that's what I'm looking for. And so I hope that in the course of this study, not that I have any doubts of our faith, but that it further affirms some things concerning our walk in relationship with God. And tonight is one of those things that I really want to focus on. I'm going to use a lot of scientific information, if you will, but I want to show how that you and I, when we talk about things like faith, and we talk about things that are unseen, and we talk about things that are somewhat abstract when it comes to being able to comprehend them, if you will, with our five senses, able to access them or observe them, with what we have in our physical ability, okay? And I want us to somehow see through science how that even the universe shows us that there is so much more than meets the eye. And I entitled it, Not Seeing, Yet Believing. Not Seeing, Yet Believing. And we've touched on this throughout the study, if you will, and we've talked about the things that are observable, that are objective truths, and we've talked about things that when we look at it and we study, that science shows us that there's compatibility between the way science does things, if you will, or views things, and the way you and I can view things, and they can be compatible. And so I hope that, like Paul told the church at Rome, that we can understand the invisible by seeing the visible. But that we can also understand that the invisible is vitally important. Stay with me. Equipped with five senses, man explores the universe around him and calls the adventure science.
man by the name of Edwin Hubble made this quote. Anybody recognize Hubble? Hubble telescope. Made this statement. And while I understand and I agree with the statement as it pertains to science, And I've said this before and it bears repeating, it's almost as if scientists are really truly honest with us about their search and their exploration, they would say the more that they know, the more they realize they don't know. And when it comes to you and I and our walk in relationship with God, there is so much more out there that we don't know. His ways are past finding out. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are His ways above our ways and His thoughts above our thoughts. And how that the invisible, those things that we can't readily access with our senses, those things are so vitally important to our material existence. Stay with me. Hopefully you'll be convinced. Whoa. 2 Corinthians 4:18, passage of Scripture says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." If you and I, and I know you say, well, that's kind of a silly question, it's somewhat rhetorical. If I were to ask, what is more important? What is temporal or what is eternal? I think we would all readily agree, well, what is eternal is more important. What is forever? That's really, if you want to make it, you know, the weight of the matter obviously would proportionally have to be what is eternal. Life is but a vapor. This space of time that you and I have upon the earth is in comparison to eternity, really no comparison at all. Yet, it's significant. So significant that it seems as though what happens in this space of time or what we do with this space of time affects eternity. The scientist, a quote in the book that I read, he said, and it kind of goes, he said, listen, you when you pick a flower on earth, it ripples throughout the universe. This is the thinking of science. Now, when you and I think about it in the sense of who we are as material beings, we understand that where God spoke all of the universe into existence, He created you and I from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And while there are variations into how much of our DNA we share with the animal kingdom, anywhere from 97 to somewhere around 99% of our physical DNA we share with the rest of creation. So in the temple or in the physical, we're not that much different. I've said it before, some of us are closer than others. So really that immaterial, if you will, or what many people would see as immaterial or not significant is so much more significant. It is so much more essential. What is in the eternal or what is in the invisible is much more important than what's in the visible. Stay with me. We're getting somewhere. If you had to guess, what percentage of our universe would you guess is observable? What percentage of our universe would you guess is observable? Can be seen. I'll give you some options. 1 to 5%, 2 6 to 29%, 3 30 to 62%, or 4 63 to 90%. All right, here's crowd participation. All right, I want you to vote your own conscience. Don't look at somebody else that you may or may not think is smarter than you. If you believe the percentage of the universe that is observable is 1 to 5%, raise one finger. All right. If you believe it is 6 to 29%, raise two fingers. If you believe it is 30 to 62%, raise three fingers. If you believe it is 63 to 90%, raise four fingers. We got 1 4, 2 fours, a couple ones, some twos. Keep them up. I want to see. You better not have changed. Some of you better keep your... Got some fours. Ooh, we got a married couple. One's a four and one's a four. Or one's a one and one's a four. One, two, four, two, one, three. All right. I'm not going to tell you yet. You'll have to stay awake. How many of you like riddles? No? Then don't play. If you like riddles, here's a riddle. It's a what am I riddle, all right? If you figure it out, don't call it out. Just consider yourself smart. What am I? I am everywhere, but no one sees me. Anybody think you know yet? I am everywhere, but no one sees me. Anybody want to give a guess right now? Ammon? Wind. All right. Anybody else? Oxygen, air, wind. Okay. Is that, some of you have the same one? Okay. Here's the second clue. I am the weakest of all known forces, but I am impossible to subdue. Still think it's air? Bad breath. Anybody got a different, other than air, a different guess? I'm the weakest of all known forces, but I am impossible to subdue. All right, third clue. I attract everything and I am repulsed by nothing. Y'all still think it's air? Yes? Gravity? I attract everything and I am repulsed by nothing. Fourth clue, if I was 1/1,000,000,000 stronger, the universe would collapse. It would collapse in on itself. 1/1,000,000,000. If I was 1/1,000,000,000 stronger, the entire universe would collapse in on itself. If I was 1/1,000,000,000 weaker, the universe would fly apart in all directions with all planets, stars, galaxy becoming dust-like. They would just... It could not coalesce at all. No matter could coalesce, it would just completely disperse throughout the entire universe and everything would be like dust in the wind. I am gravity. You want to hear something surprising about gravity? Still don't know how it happens. They study. Even Einstein and his theory of relativity studied gravity and gravitational force. And they found out that there is no such thing. It's in science fiction, but there is absolutely no such thing as anti-gravity. It's repulsed by nothing. But it attracts everything. It is one of those objective truths. If you don't believe me, go back after service, climb up to the top, and jump off. Remember the thing about an objective truth. If you do not respect that it is an objective truth, it can hurt you. Gravity is one of those objective truths. They say, we read it earlier, if it was 1/1,000,000,000 stronger, the universe would collapse upon itself. If it was 1/1,000,000,000 weaker, it couldn't coalesce and it would completely disperse in all directions. Now, guys much smarter than me made those calculations. I just read them. So, well, this is in this wonderfully scientific book. This is the best explanation that they could give for how gravity works. Ever had someone much larger than you sit beside you on a soft couch? that real soft cushion, and you're there, and you're all perched up nice, and everything's good. And then that, no offense, but larger person comes and sits beside you on that very soft couch, and you do this. That's how gravity works. It's even in what they call the space-time continuum, which is that, you know, that real scientific thing for the universe and how everything exists in that dimension, that space-time continuum. The Earth and other planets in our solar system, they roll or they orbit around the sun because the sun creates a cavernous depression in the space-time continuum. And yes, that is spelled correctly. It has two U's. You can check me later. Some 5 billion miles across. In our solar system, the reason why the planets revolve around the sun is because the sun in its mass is so much larger that it creates a cavernous depression in the space-time continuum, and therefore all the planets roll or orbit around the sun. The depression that it creates in the space-time continuum, how they measure this, I have no idea. Something to do with sitting on a couch. 5 billion miles across. But our solar system is in the Milky Way galaxy. Did you know that? Yeah? Our solar system is drawn into the Milky Way galaxy because it creates a basin or a cavernous depression some 600 quadrillion miles across. That's 6 with 17 zeros, in case you want to count. That's how far this depression in the space-time continuum goes, so that our solar system rests or revolves or rolls around the Milky Way galaxy. That kind of stuff blows my mind. How they even measure or know that, or how they come up with those calculations, I looked at some of the equations in the book and just laughed. It's all Greek to me. This is what they say. In the 1930s, astronomers discovered that galaxies were spinning faster than their masses justified. They observed them and they saw these great telescopes, and they realized that these galaxies were spinning faster than what their masses would indicate. In other words, according to what was measurable in the galaxy, it shouldn't be spinning that fast. Matter of fact, when they observed, it wasn't just spinning a little faster. The galaxy was spinning 10 times faster than what it should. They couldn't figure it out. They didn't understand. How is this possible? How is it these galaxies that are out there that are spinning, that according to their mass, the justifiable rate of their spin should be 10 times less than what it is? But it's spinning 10 times faster. Not just that. It's accelerating. I'm going to get nerdy on you for a bit. Say, already there, Pastor. I'm trying to figure out. This is 1930s. Viewing these galaxies, they're spinning and it doesn't make sense. What's measurable in these galaxies and the mass that's there doesn't make sense because the galaxies are spinning so much faster. Doesn't seem like it would be possible. It seems like they would either collapse or disperse. So what? What is it? So today, astronomers believe that galaxies are pregnant with an exotic invisible material they have labeled dark matter. Not dark because it's evil. Dark because they can't see it. Dark because it's invisible. And the only way they can know it exists is because the galaxies are spinning 10 times faster than what they should according to their masses that they can measure. So they have to have something in their galaxies that they cannot measure, and it's not observable. And the only thing they can say is it's dark matter. Matter, it exists, it's there. We know the gravitational force is there. It's observable because light rays bend when they get close to the sun. Did you know that? It's just dark matter. Don't know what it is, can't see it. But it's got to be there. Because all the circumstantial evidence that surrounds the spinning of the galaxies indicate that the mass has to be much greater, but the mass that is measurable is 10 times less than what it should be. So they say, oh, it's dark matter. That's not all. Furthermore, the universe is not slowing down, but accelerating. So there has to be something that's adding to this. If the galaxies are spinning faster, and they're accelerating, then something has to be growing. The mass has to be increasing. And they don't know how. They've yet to provide an adequate answer. This unforeseen force behind the acceleration they have labeled dark energy. Not dark because it's evil. Dark because they can't see it. It's not observable. Black holes. Ever heard of that? These things that happen when a star explodes. Creates this cavernous space, if you will. No, it's there. It happens. It's something, but it's just a... Can't see it? It's not observable in and of itself, but it has to exist. Scientists have no problem believing in dark matter and dark energy. None at all. Matter of fact, let's go back to this. Anybody want to change their answer? How many of you think it's 1 to 5%? You think it might be 2? Sticking with 2? 3? Anybody going to stick with 3 now? No 4s? Sticking with 4? All the way. Dark matter and dark energy. According... All told, astronomers have concluded that dark energy comprises some 68% of the total universe and dark matter about 27% of the total universe. Anybody quick with math? This means 95% of what the universe is comprised of is unseen. You cannot see it. 95%. Scientists have no problem believing that 95% of the cosmos of our universe is invisible. Cannot be seen. 68% is dark energy and 27% is dark matter. Not dark because it's evil, but dark because they can't see it. That means only 5% of the entire universe. 5% of the entire universe is able to be seen. They think we're silly because we come inside a church and lift our hands to a God we cannot see. And we feel things which we cannot explain. And things happen which defy human logic. And all of a sudden God works things out. And we say, well, that you just can't attribute that to God. Well, why can't I? Scientists that can believe that 95% of our universe is completely invisible. That you can't see it. But there's enough circumstantial evidence in the cosmos that would have them come together and agree 95% of our universe is unobservable. How about you, but this makes chills run up and down the back of my spine. Because people want to look at us and mock us because we worship and we talk about a relationship with a God that we cannot see. And we talk about praying and doing things that to the logical mind just seems absurd, that you're going to get on your knees and talk to the air. And what do you think? There's somebody there. Oh, I think there's a lot more than just somebody. I think there's a lot out there that you and I don't even recognize. If this is the way it is in the natural, what do you think it's like in the spiritual? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm absurd because I believe that I can't do this on my own. I'm absurd because I believe I need a God who created it all and spoke it all into existence. I'm the one that's ignorant because I believe that getting on my knees and praying to a God. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? It was Einstein when he was doing all this study and research and said, hey, I'm just going to tell you, when it comes to logic and it comes to human reasoning, it's insignificant in the scope of the universe. The smartest men in a natural sense who has ever lived, when he studied the universe, he said, oh, it's anybody who ever studies the universe, he said, it should humble them. 95% of the universe, none of us, you realize how silly it is to doubt that the universe exists? Be honest. If a reporter was to interview somebody and say, sir or ma'am, do you believe the universe exists? No, I do not. Who would not collectively laugh at that statement? Believe that a God exists? Yes, I do. I come from spiritual reasoning. I believe that there's an objective truth that God created it all. By faith, believe we understand, the Bible says, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Faith. Show me faith. I can't show you faith. I can show you my faith by my works, but I can't show you what faith is. It's abstract. It's belief in something that's out there. But yet, we don't say that 95% of the universe is unobservable, is not seen. Both science and the Bible agree that our visible existence is influenced by what is invisible. If gravity moved, if its force strengthened by 1/1,000,000,000% in either direction, do you think it would matter one iota who was at the White House? You think it would matter one iota? Cease to exist. 1/1,000,000,000% either direction. He's saying, I believe he's got the whole world in his hands. I believe his ways are above our ways, and his ways are past finding out. I believe the knowledge, it's too wonderful for me, but I love the exploration. I love it. Science is that adventure with those five senses. But let me tell you this, a walk in relationship with God is an adventure that goes beyond my five senses. It goes beyond just feeling. Listen, if I just worship God based upon my feeling, I'm missing a whole lot of what God has to offer. Basing it on what I see, basing it on what I interact with, even in a natural sense, I am missing the majority of what God has for me. Just as our natural existence is steered to a large extent by unseen forces beyond our comprehension and control, so too is our spiritual existence. Don't get me twisted. I'm not saying one iota what you do does not matter. Not in the Word. Jesus said those that have done good under the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. What I do does matter. What I do in this little space of time makes a difference in all of eternity. But we need to understand what I'm doing right here and right now is influenced and, yes, steered by a large extent by forces outside my comprehension, quite honestly, outside of my control. It's a meme on Facebook. Wow, that just went south real quick. Saw it not too long ago. And someone asked me if I needed the Holy Ghost to get to heaven. I told him I need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. You laugh at that. Think about it. If, in a natural sense, 95% of the universe is not viewable, it's not observable, it would also stand to reason that in the spirit world, there are... This is why I need to pray. This is why the Bible says, listen, the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. For they are spiritually discerned. If in the natural there's 95% of the universe that is unobservable, what is it like in the spirit realm? What is it like? What are you and I accessing when we get on our knees and begin to pray? This doesn't do anything else. Maybe it will increase your faith that when you get on your knees, it's not just tradition. When you get on your knees, it's not just a devotion. When you get on your knees and you begin to cry out unto God, it's not just rudiments of the world and traditions of men. The Bible says that the angels are going to pour out the prayers of the saints. How is that going to happen? I don't know. Maybe it's in that 95% unobservable spot, far, I'm getting crazy. Part of the spiritual realm. So when I pray, this is why. Think about this. When I'm operating in the spirit realm, I am doing things in accordance with the will of God, whose thoughts are in the heavens. And I'm praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do I not recognize? Look, science reveals that what is seen only hints at what is really going on. So, there's a reason why it's troubling when someone who used to be active and used to be faithful to church, and then all of a sudden they start missing. Why? Because science and the Bible agree that what's visible, what's happening, what's observable, only hints at what is really going on. It works the other way. Maybe it seems like an insignificant prayer. Elijah stood on top of Mount Carmel and began to pray. It's a simple prayer. All day, they jumped all over the fire, all over the altar. They beat themselves with flint knives. They created sparks trying to make a fire. Elijah says, 12 barrels of water, saturate the sacrifice, dig a trench, fill the trench around about. Say a simple prayer up to heaven. Why? Maybe Elijah understood. There's a 95% observable, or unobservable rather, ether almost that exists. And I'm not trying to make it mystical. What I'm trying to get you and I to understand is that those things that are not seen are so much more important and so much more essential and so much more relevant than you and I could ever even imagine. What is happening in the spirit realm and what is going on that you cannot see, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, those things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Then it goes on to say, but God has revealed them by his Spirit. Why is it? Why is it? I've only got a few minutes left, but why is it? We don't seek the strange, and we don't seek the superstitious, and we don't seek, but tell you why. Tell you why we don't have the miracles that we should, because we don't seek that aspect of God. God has all this help. Has all this that's in this realm that is unobservable, if you will, that is much like the universe in which we exist. We understand even his eternal power and Godhead by. And scientists say that 95% of the universe is unobservable. We struggle. Cancer can be healed instantly. We struggle that a blinded eye can be opened. We struggle that a deaf ear can be unstopped. Want to know how Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? When a man came to him that was deaf, he stuck his fingers in his ears and said, be thou open. The more convinced, the more I study, and the more I read, I'm not trying to make this mystical. Trying to make you understand is that what happens in the spirit realm, what happens that is invisible and unobservable to the human eye is so much more important and so much more essential than we ever give it credit. We are saved by hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Oh, you're talking about the invisible. Talking about things that are not seen. Yeah, I am. It's the same Paul that says, listen, I got a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Well, it ain't my home. I don't have attachments here. The reason why I'm still here is it's more needful for you that I abide in the flesh. Otherwise, if I had my way, I'd be gone already. Think about it. Think about it from a human perspective. We got all the stuff we got going on. We got, from a human perspective, we're all ADD. You laugh. You chuckle. Sit down to do something, 5 minutes later, we're doing something else. Yet, there's an eternity that awaits. Yet there's something out there. There's something. We as Christians, as believers, we don't believe that death is the end. We believe it's the beginning. We believe that's when we graduate. That this earthly body shall be destroyed, and then a heavenly body is going to happen. A heavenly body that it has to be somehow like the resurrected Lord. The disciples were all shut up, and the doors are locked, and they're eating. And they're talking about the events, and they look up, and it's Jesus. Just walked through walls, but yet, Thomas. He appears to Thomas, and Thomas says, I won't believe unless I touch the nail prints in his hand and the wound in his side. And Jesus says, you believe in all that stuff? Believe in the universe? You believe in gravity? Yeah? Show me gravity.
Well,
no, you showed me the effects of gravity. You didn't show me gravity. You may reveal how gravity operates, but you didn't show me gravity. All right, I got a few more minutes. I'm almost done. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. This is why it is essential that I pray in the Spirit. This is why it is essential that I pray in the Holy Ghost. This is why it is essential that I access on a very, very frequent basis that 95% that exists out there that is not observable. And I'm not talking about the natural. I'm talking about the spiritual. Because he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. One of those Pentecostals, you speak in tongues. Yeah. I believe the Spirit gives the utterance. You don't even know what you're saying. No, I don't. There's a lot I don't know. The more that I do know, the more I understand that what I don't know is much more important than what I do know. I'm going to give you hope. You can stand. If seeing is believing, then we are missing out on about 90% or more of what the universe has to offer. If seeing is believing, then I'm missing out on a whole lot. But we walk by faith, not by I pray because I believe it works. I pray because I believe I need to ask. I pray because I understand. I don't even know what I need to ask for sometimes. I pray because I understand there's a spirit realm that I... This thing is so much more wonderful and so much bigger and so much more awesome than we could ever even scratch the surface of. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Science and the Bible agree that there is way more to life than what meets the eye. So I must be a pretty smart fellow. Praying must be one of the most intelligent things I can do. Not seeing, yet believing. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm coming to understand more and more. So much of the stuff we struggle with, so much of the stuff we strain at, so much of the stuff that we spend so much time on is so frivolous in comparison, God. You're so much more wonderful, God. What is available and what awaits us, God, in a realm that is unobservable to the natural eye and unhearable with the human ear, God. That realm that exists, Lord, like Paul when he said, I was caught up into the third heaven and I heard things which are unutterable by man, and I really can't explain what I experienced. Oh, God, help us to understand that there exists in that spiritual realm so much more than what meets the eye. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness. mercy and your grace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.